Good morning, and welcome to the South Fayette Church of Christ. If you are visiting with us this morning, we want you to know from our hearts to yours that we are truly, truly glad that you have found it important to spend time with us in God's Word on this Lord's Day. It is our prayer that anytime you are able to come and worship with us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ in spirit and truth, we pray that you do just that. And to the saints here at the South Fayette Church of Christ, let us be mindful and remember to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Keeping the main thing the main thing. And what that means for us here at the South Fayette Church of Christ is loving one another as Christ has commanded us to. Having a zeal and a desire for God's word. And a passion and a mind to work and God's kingdom, doing all that we can to spread the gospel truth. And no matter what, through the ups and downs, know that Jesus loves you, and I do too, and there's nothing you can do about that. This morning, I want to talk about something very important. There are many things in our lives that are significant. Family is significant. Money is significant. Financial stability is significant. Education is significant. Relationships are significant. But this morning, I want to talk about the significance of being a Christian, being reborn again. I believe that when it comes right down to it, what does it really mean to be a Christian? There are many different views about Christianity in our world today. But of course, the Bible view is the only view and the correct view that we go on. You see, Christian occurs in the Bible, in the New Testament, three times. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, there's a new relationship of the Christian in view. In Acts chapter 26 and 28, there's a new character of Christian is in view. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, a new way of life of the Christian is in view. Now, obviously, a person could not really be a Christian without truly knowing the steps it took to become one. Hearing the word, Romans 10, 17, and after hearing, believing what you have heard, John 8 and verse 24, and then being pricked to the heart, knowing that there's a change that needs to be made, you repent, according to Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. And then you confess, after being pricked to the heart, that you understand that Jesus is the way. He is the Christ. He lived, he died, and he rose again on the third day with all power in his hand. And then finally, baptism, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. Saints, I believe it's important for a Christian to grow in their understanding of the real significance of what they did when they became a Christian. This morning, I want you, as we go through this lesson, to ask yourself, what is the significance of me being a child of God? For instance, Christians are those who have trusted in Christ, having heard the word of truth, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Being a Christian and understanding significance are those who have obediently received the word of God, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Christians are those who have been enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Hebrews chapter 6, 4 and 5. These are things that we have to play in our minds as understanding why we are followers of Christ. But there are some questions I think that we ought to ask ourselves from time to time. And not just babes in Christ, but just every so often as we do a self-evaluation, we ought to ask the question, what did I do? What did I receive that day? What are the implications and the consequences of what I have decided to do? And what happened to me in that? It wouldn't hurt to start asking, since you are now a Christian, what have I truly become? What is different about me? What is the meaning and the significance and the importance and more so the value of becoming a child of God? Why and what am I now to do? Listen, these matters have much to do with the Christian's self-identity. And it's very important what we identify as. You see, when you become a Christian, the significance of it means that you no longer identify with the world. You are now identifying with Christ. And I want you to know to be very careful, because we will not be successful Christians and followers of Christ without having the right slant of ourselves. The way that we view ourselves is important. You see, we need the peace and strength of an accurate self-understanding. What I'm simply saying is we ought to have, as believers and followers of Christ, a healthy sense of personal worth. You see, our greatest need is to be, not simply to have. And over again, as being a Christian, you will be faced with all types of temptations, all types of trials. But in order for you to overcome them, truly overcome them, and be the child of God that you desire to be, it requires an adequate perspective of self. How do I see myself as a child of God? Who am I and why am I here? You see, the problem is Christians forget that their identity is in Christ and not in the world. You see, if you are identifying with Christ, it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't really matter what's going on, because what you identify as a child of God and putting on the characteristics of Christ. You see, if you have a distorted image of yourself, it causes something. When you aren't identifying with Christ and you're looking like the world, what we end up doing is giving a self-distorted image of ourselves, which will cause us to project a distorted picture of Christianity. How is it that we have the opportunity of everlasting life and we walk around giving people the distorted view of what it means to be a follower of Christ? We walk around as if we're defeated as Christians. And I really want us to start really thinking about this in these terms. I am in Christ, and as a result, I am royalty. As a result, there is a reward that waits for me because of my faithfulness and my willingness to identify with Christ and become more like Him. I begin to understand the significance of what it means to be a Christian. It doesn't mean that I say that I'm a Christian and I go to church and that's it. It's not a checklist type of thing. It is a lifestyle in which you are putting on the characteristics of Christ every single day of your life. It's already bad enough that the waters are muddied. We deal with enough in religion today. The distorted views of religion today, the misunderstanding of religion today, and the last thing we need is brothers and sisters who are in Christ, who are Christians, who have put on Christ, act as if they don't identify with Him as much as they identify with the world and its problems. Saints, I don't know about you, but beloved, the world desperately needs more men and women who are genuinely about identifying and being a Christian. We need more brothers and sisters in Christ who genuinely understand what it means to be in Christ. Many people walk around with a defeated attitude, but they're in Christ. Listen, it doesn't matter the hand that you were dealt. It doesn't matter the family you were born into. It doesn't matter the thorn that you have in your flesh. It doesn't matter all the ailments or disabilities that you may have in this life. You have something to look forward to that's greater than anything in this world. But we must understand the significance of being a Christian. And the first thing that we must understand when we put Christ on in baptism, it is a new life. It's no longer an old life. The Christian needs to think of his or her life as a new life. You were once separated from him. And because of the ultimate sacrifice and the blood that was shed, you have new life. I don't know about you, but that ought to bring you joy. That ought to bring a sense of peace to understand that because I believe in Jesus the Christ and what he stood for, what he taught, what the church represents, I'm all about that. You have an opportunity to have a new life. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says, we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in a newness of life. My old life is no longer what it is. I have a new life, a new opportunity that ought to bring me joy. The newness is not a physical, but a spiritual thing. It has to do with the inward man, not what's happening on the outside. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. The character of this inner man and woman is the most important thing that distinguishes us from the world. You know, Alexander the Great, seeing Diogenes, a philosopher, he saw him looking intently at some bones, human bones, that is. And he asked the philosopher what he was looking for. And Diogenes replied, that which I cannot find. He says, what do you mean? He says, the difference between your father's bones and those of slaves. What am I simply saying? It's not about physicality, it's about our spirituality. You can put a man side by side and know the difference between either one of them. You can't see in his heart, you don't know what it is, but when we both die, we both go into grave, we both have skin and we both have bones. And when all of that is gone and all you have is bones, you can't tell the difference between the two. The only thing that separates them was how they live their lives. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, looking at verses 2 through 3, Solomon says, in the same for all, since the same even happened to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice, as the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun. The same event happens to all. Also, to the hearts of the children of man are full of evil and madness is in their hearts while they live. And after that, they go to the dead. Solomon is troubled as he views death. He sees that it comes for all. It does not discriminate. He sees that death comes unexpectedly. It doesn't matter if you're black, doesn't matter if you're white, doesn't matter if you're rich, doesn't matter if you're poor, Democrat, Republican, tall, short, it does not matter. When we see and we truly look that it's about the inner man and spirit, we see that there is nothing much more important to be concerned with than the spiritual. It is not the physical. The Christian values a renewal of thinking. We value the change. We value the newness of life. We are truly happy about being in Christ. In Romans 12 and verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world. What does that mean? Do not look like this world. Don't act like them, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. The fact that I'm willing to put Christ on in baptism and live a new life. And then I get into the word of God so that by testing, I may discern what the will of God is. I know how to conduct myself. I am happy. I have joy that I'm in Christ, that I am saved, that I have a new life. And I'm able to determine what is good and acceptable and perfect. Why? Because I'm in Christ and I understand the significance of what it means to be a Christian. Being renewed in the spirit of the mind, Ephesians 4:23 tells us. Being a new creature in Christ, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Ephesians 2:10, being created, right, as in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're talking about a new life, an opportunity to get to heaven. And as you have transformed into the new life, you also need to be developing into a new person. We are a new person not because we decided to change our mind, it's because we are born again. And it's not that you're a special kind of thing, but it's a person who is in Christ and he has experienced or she has experienced a new birth. I'm able to start over again. I can be reinstated. I can be back on the team again. I can be in good standing. I can be reconciled back to my Father because I am now in Christ. That ought to bring us joy. That's not something we ought to be down about because we are Christian, because we're followers of Christ. We ought to have joy every single day of our lives. Yes, we have challenges. Yes, we face ups and downs. But we ought to have joy knowing the significance of what it means to be a child of God. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6, Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom." If you're born again, you can see the kingdom. You ought to be happy about that. You ought to have joy in your heart. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." See, the Christian has been born again to a new hope, a better opportunity, something you didn't have when you were not in Christ. You see, we have to start carrying ourselves like we know that we are royalty. God is our King and our Father, and we are His children. We have been adopted into His royal family because we have decided to put Christ on and identify with Him every single day. You know, when I really think about this, you're talking about a new birth. You were brought from death to life. What is to be sad about that? Oh, this Christian thing, you know, being a Christian is hard. You've been brought from death to life. Oh, you know, they're always asking so much about us and wanting me to do this as a Christian. You've been brought from death to life. Oh, they're asking for us to come back to church 3 or 4 times a day. You know, I got a lot of stuff to do. You've been brought from death to life. You have an opportunity that most people will never have because they have not come to the conclusion that I must identify by putting on the characteristics of Christ, by being born and living for Him. In John chapter 5, 24 and 25, it says, "Truly, truly, I say to whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life." You know, I don't know about you. You know, a lot of people walk around and they're happy because they make good money. They're happy because of the occupation that they hold. They're happy about the decisions that they made. They get to travel the world. They get to do all of these things. And yet those people shouldn't be any more happier than us because we have eternal life. When I think about eternal life, it can be brought in both in the sense of present and the future. Do you understand that? While we hear eternal life, and because you have given him everything, future tense, eternal life. In this new birth, I want you to remember that you were brought from darkness into light. In Acts 26, verse 18, it says to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan who had a hold on us to holding on to God's unchanging hand, that we may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith. You know, this new birth places us in Christ. That's something we ought to be happy about. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, for as many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Romans 8, verse 1, he says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation because you have decided to put me on and wear me every day. You have decided to give me your heart, your mind, and your soul. And what that brings about after a new life and a new person, it brings about a new loyalty. You're not loyal to the world anymore. You're not loyal to self. You're not loyal to man. You're loyal to God. The Christian is indeed a converted person. That's the significance of it. You've changed. You have converted from your old way of thinking to a new way of thinking. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You know, conversion inherently involves change. When you truly say that I am a Christian and a follower of Christ, the significance of it is that you have been converted and you are changing. See, you don't get to say that I'm truly in Christ and your language is still the same as it was. Your attitude is the same as it was. The disrespect that you give to your mother and your father is as it was. The conversations that you have, the things that you watch, the things you listen to, the things that you consume in your eyes, in your ears, and the things that come out of your mouth, have they changed? Or are you truly doing the same old thing? Because when change is successful, what you can do is look back and see what I once was that I'm no longer am, and that is growth. We ought to be growing. We ought not be in the same place that we was last year. We ought to be excited about what's in store for us going into 2023 and why that is so good for us, because we are in Christ. You know, without a genuine conversion, which includes repentance, Christianity is meaningless. If you walk around here acting like the living dead, it's pointless. If you have no faith, it's pointless. If you practice no change, it's pointless. It's meaningless. Walking around here and you're supposed to know that you have eternal life. You have an advocate with the Father. You have someone who's giving you the Holy Spirit as a comforter, one to guide you. You have the Word of God. You have brothers and sisters that love you, and you have the hope of everlasting life, and you're walking around here like Oscar the Grouch. And where does he live? In a trash can. And you know what that means to me? If you're walking around as a Christian who has eternal life, that means that your relationship with God is trash. Your willingness to do what he's asked you to do is trash. Your attitude is trash, and you need to change it. We have eternal life, and it's so significant of what we hold before us. Do you understand? You have eternal life in your hands. In your hands. And the only person that can take that away is you. Christians are activated by new views. Christians decide their conduct by a brand new criteria that does not line up with the rest of the world. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. If you're looking at the mirror and you're disappointed in what you see, it's probably because you aren't looking like Christ. Maybe if you start identifying with Christ and put on his characteristics, when you look in the mirror, you won't be disappointed. The old man and woman has disappeared, and the new man who has identified with Christ, put on his characteristics, have been buried in water, and is living for him, dying to his old self, has taken place. In Matthew 22:37-38, he says to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul. You are simply saying, I am handing over my life to you. I'm giving it all to you, Father. In conclusion, I want us to walk away understanding the significance of what we have before us. The Christian is indeed a person who was reborn, and he or she has a reason to think of him or herself as blessed. We are blessed saints. And we have to start acting and conducting ourselves as such. You know, the experience of becoming and being a Christian fixes one attention on something glorious. And that's a glorious future in the end. I'll leave you with this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Now that I have already obtained this, not that I have already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do is forget what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen. We ought to be excited about what awaits us at the end of this race, and that is eternal life. And we ought to run it with joy. We ought not ever allow outside things take away the joy in understanding the significance of what I have, and that is a personal relationship with God. I have been born again. I am a new person with a new loyalty. If you're here this morning, and when you're thinking about what lies ahead at the end of this race, the word Christianity takes on a whole new meaning. So if you're here this morning, and you're not a Christian, and you said to yourself, yo, I'm not in the Lord's army, you can enlist this morning by being buried in water. And if you went AWOL, a little different about this army is that you can re-enlist, and you can do that today. You can repent of your sins. You can turn away from the mindset and the things that you once used to do and start living for God. If you got kicked off the team, hey, we ain't got to do tryouts. You can come right back in and start playing with us again as long as you are promising to our head coach that you are going to be in the game and no longer on the sidelines. If you're here this morning, and you have a need, whether it be putting Christ on in baptism, whether it be reconciling back, repenting of your sins, or needing the prayers of the church, please come now as together we stand and sing.